All right. Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to our City Council meeting. Tonight, the Pledge of Allegiance will be recited by Councilmember Sears.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Bob. Roll call, please.
Mayor Griffin?
Here.
Councilmember Sears?
Here.
Councilmember Dewey?
Here.
Councilmember Zimmer?
Here.
Councilmember Ward?
Here.
Councilmember Wirtz?
Here.
Councilmember Gibbons?
Here.
Thank you. And now I'd like to ask City Attorney John Hessel to enter into the minutes information regarding the Sunshine Law.
Thank you, Mayor. As I've announced previously at these meetings, Section 610.015 of the Missouri Sunshine Law provides that members of the council who are not physically present in the council chambers can participate and vote on all matters when an emergency exists and the nature of the emergency must be stated in the minutes. So I would ask again that the minutes reflect the United States, state of Missouri is still in the state of an emergency due to the coronavirus. And pursuant to the orders of the governor of the state of Missouri, as well as the county executive, meetings must be held in which everyone maintains a safe distance. And because of the gatherings of 10 or more people to avoid the spread of the coronavirus, therefore members of the city council have elected to participate in this meeting electronically, the public health and safety of each other and the general public.
Thank you, John. We do have a presentation tonight, the Urban Forestry Commission Advocate of the Year Award, and I understand the recipient, Dr. David Slane, is going to be a participant in this. And before I say anything, I will wait for Dr. Slane to get on. Dave, are you there?
He should be joining us momentarily.
Yeah, I thought I saw him coming on. Oh, there we go. Hello, Dr. David Slane. We see you. Can you? All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and read about the award, and Dave can. He's already got the award, and he can present and say a few words. So bear with me. I'm pleased on behalf of the Urban Forestry Commission to present their Advocate of the Year Award to Dr. David Slane. Dr. Slane served on the commission from 2011 to 2019 and served as chair for several of those years. Under his unique and charismatic leadership, Kirkwood completed a comprehensive street tree inventory in large part using grant funding. Kirkwood created and filled an urban forester position to oversee the management of city trees in the right-of-way, and the city's first tree ordinance was drafted and passed. Dave's leadership has always been hands-on. He participated in parades, festivals, expos, arbor days, planning events, and teaching opportunities. He did a tree climbing demonstration at each elementary school hosting a junior tree keeper program, and always attended their award ceremonies. He has donated and planted numerous trees throughout the city. As a certified arborist, his expertise was invaluable to the commission. The city is fortunate in the number and quality of the citizens who volunteer their time on boards and commissions, and Dr. David Slane is an example and more than deserving of this award. Congratulations. David, would you like to say anything? Well, unfortunately, we're not able to hear you. There is the award. Freddie, is there anything regarding volume that we can do?
He's allowed to speak, but he hasn't activated his mic.
Okay. Your mic is not activated, David, so. We'll take your thumbs up as your words. All right. David, thanks for all you've done and continue to do. Very, very good. Thank you. All right. We will move on to public comments.
Okay, the public comments portion of the meeting is an opportunity for the City Council to listen to comments from citizens. It is not a question and answer session, and the City Council will not respond to comments or answer questions during this period. The Mayor may refer any matter brought up to the City Council, to the Chief Administrative Officer, or City Clerk if action is needed.
We have anyone wishing to make a comment?
There is one.
All right.
And Mayor, if I may say, whoever's going to make a public comment, please state your name and address for the record, please.
I believe his name is Chris. You've been unmuted.
Okay, and her name is Chris.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Good evening. My name is Chris Raker, and I live with my husband, Gary, at 3 Ivanhoe Woods. I know a number of you from other venues. Gary and I like to give praise when it's due, as we recently did by emailing our appreciation for the prompt response to multiple water main breaks on our small cul-de-sac. Sometimes we also reluctantly feel a need to express concerns, which is why I'm addressing you this evening. Our street has been in very rough shape for numerous years. I understand the south area of the city was scheduled for repairs in 2017, but no such work was done to Ivanhoe Woods. One of the water department workers told us last month that he had been to our street at least 15 times to respond to water main issues, and we would concur. Each time that happens, our street is patched, and now it looks like a poorly made patchwork quilt. After the most recent repairs, we had 5 new large patches of asphalt. And on the same day those patches were made, 3 trash trucks drove on the street, necessarily driving across the patches and creating large ruts in the newly poured surfaces. In addition to those ruts, we have areas with good-sized holes where you can look down and see that there is nothing below the surface holding concrete in place. The average age of residents on our street is 70. One of our neighbors is 76, lives alone and is restricted by her doctor from going to any public place. Since the pandemic began, her only exercise and opportunity to see others comes when she takes her 3 times a day walks around the circle. Last week, we were in our yard when my husband saw her trip and fall on one of the asphalt patches next to her driveway. When we didn't see her for a couple of days, I called and found out that she had broken 3 toes in her fall. And 2 days later, we saw another person trip while he was walking his dog on our street. I called the street department last Friday and left a message with this information. We saw several Kirkwood trucks drive down the street after that, but nothing was done. Perhaps there is a plan for further action, but I've received no notification to that effect after my call. I know funding is limited for repairs, but I have driven a lot of Kirkwood streets and ours seems to be among the worst. It really isn't safe for pedestrians, particularly in the circle at the end. My neighbors and I would like to invite each of you to take a walk down Ivanhoe Woods. It's a wonderful street. We take pride in our homes, our yards, and the way we look out for each other. But our street has become a concern that needs your attention soon. Thank you very much for your service. My comments are concluded.
Thank you very much. Do we have anyone else wishing to make a comment? All right.
David Slane.
Oh, his time is up.
I now understand why he is unable to talk. He is using an older version of Zoom, unfortunately. Okay. So I cannot allow him to talk at this time.
Okay. All right. I'm sure we'll hear from David again at some point. All right. With that, public comments are closed. We will move on to our consent agenda. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Approved.
All right. I know that we only have one item on there, and I think Councilmember Gibbons has an amendment to the minutes that she would like to make. Councilmember Gibbons?
Sorry, do I do that now?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Yes. Under the concerns that the council addressed after the presentation from Petitioner Chris Morzelak, ASCII on Commerce Bank. I just want to add another concern on the two-way access points.
You have that amendment, don't you?
I do. Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. Is there a second to that amendment?
Second.
All right. Do we have any questions or comments on the amendment to the minutes? All right. All in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. All right. The motion to amend passes. All right. If there are no further questions, all in favor of the consent agenda as amended, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. Consent agenda passes. We will move on to unfinished business, and we need a substitute bill brought to the floor. So could I have a motion to bring substitute bill 10844 to the floor?
Motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Any questions or comments? All right. All in favor of bringing substitute bill 10844 on the floor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. Motion passes. We now have on the floor substitute bill 10844.
Mayor and Council, this is an ordinance fixing and establishing the rate of taxation to be levied upon all real estate and certain tangible personal property in the City of Kirkwood, County of St. Louis, State of Missouri, for the year 2020, for the maintenance of the Kirkwood Public Parks, for the Police and Firemen's Pension Fund, for general government services, and for businesses in the Special Business District.
All right. Do we have any questions or comments on the bill? All right, seeing none, roll call, please.
Mayor Griffin?
Yes.
Councilmember Sears? Okay. Councilmember Dewey?
Yes.
Councilmember Zimmer?
Yes.
Councilmember Ward?
Yes.
Councilmember Wirtz?
Yes.
Councilmember Gibbons?
Yes.
Bill passes. Now we have another substitute bill that needs to be brought to the floor. So is there a motion to bring substitute bill 10845 to the floor?
So moved.
We have a second. All right, questions or comments? All right, all in favor of bringing this bill to the floor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. All right, bill is brought to the floor. Substitute bill 10845.
Mayor and Council, this is an ordinance fixing and establishing the rate of taxation to be levied upon all real estate and certain tangible personal property in the City of Kirkwood, County of St. Louis, State of Missouri, for the year 2020, for the operation and maintenance of the Municipal Library District of Kirkwood.
Do we have any questions or comments on this bill? All right, seeing none, roll call, please.
Mayor Griffin?
Yes.
Councilmember Sears?
Yes.
Councilmember Dewey?
Yes.
Councilmember Zimmer?
Yes.
Councilmember Ward?
Yes.
Councilmember Wirtz?
Yes.
Councilmember Gibbons?
Yes.
Bill passes. Bill 10846.
Mayor and Council, this is an ordinance appropriating funds in the amount of $91,359.92. from the debt service fund to the transfer to other funds account, and then transferring funds in the amount of $91,359.92 from the transfer to other funds account to the general fund.
All right, any questions or comments? All right, seeing none, roll call, please.
Mayor Griffin?
Yes.
Councilmember Sears?
Yes.
Councilmember Dewey?
Yes.
Councilmember Zimmer?
Yes.
Councilmember Ward?
Yes.
Councilmember Wirtz?
Yes.
Councilmember Gibbons?
Yes.
Our bill passes. We go on to new business, Bill 10847.
Mayor and Council, this is an ordinance amending the provisions of the Municipal Code, Appendix A, Zoning, Section A-510.8, regarding the frontage occupation requirement in B2, General Business District, Central Business District.
Do we have a motion for approval?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Do we have any questions or comments on this bill?
Yeah, could we get an explanation of that for the overall viewers?
Say that again, Wallace. I'm sorry.
Could we just get an explanation of that so that the viewers have an understanding?
Jonathan, give a brief overall perspective of what we're doing here.
Yeah, Jonathan can certainly give a rundown.
Yeah,
sure. Thank you. So this, we held the public hearing for this item at the last meeting, but the text amendment has been requested, and it would this specifically amend the frontage occupation requirement in the B2 district. I showed a map during the public hearing, and I can pull that up if you guys want me to. But it basically, when there is a corner property that has frontage on an A street and a B street, it would not require that same building frontage occupation on the B street. And if it were on two B streets, it would have to meet that on one such frontage. So it really is kind of a refinement of our street frontage occupation requirement, which came out of the downtown master plan in an effort to make the downtown development more pedestrian oriented and pedestrian friendly by bringing the buildings to the street and having them occupy the frontage of the property, with trying to isolate parking and those types of uses to the back of the site. So this amendment does really go along with the recommendation and intent of the downtown master plan and staff's opinion, because the B streets were really streets that were identified to accommodate more of that vehicular use. So this would be an amendment to recognize and codify that.
Thanks, Jonathan.
All right. Thank you, Jonathan. Do we have any other questions or comments on this? All right. Seeing that, all in favor of first reading, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, say no. All right. Motion passes. Bill passes first reading. Bill 10848.
Mayor and Council, this is an ordinance granting a special use permit for a physical fitness facility at 10505 Big Bend Boulevard, subject to certain conditions.
Is there a motion for approval?
Motion.
Move approval.
Okay. You got those, Lauren? Thank you. All right, do we have any questions or comments on this bill? All right. Seeing none, all in favor of first reading, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. Bill passes first reading. Bill 10849.
Mayor and Council, this is an ordinance approving the final subdivision plat of a two-lot commercial subdivision known as Kirkwood Mixed Use, a tract of land being part of the west one-half block 11 of the town of Kirkwood, as recorded in Plat Book 3, page 57, in the city of Kirkwood, St. Louis County, Missouri.
Is there a motion for approval?
So moved.
Move approval.
All right, we got a motion and a second. Laurie, one quick thing I meant to, in the third whereas clause, and maybe Jonathan can answer this, should that say September 2020? Is that correct? It says 19. I just want to make sure it's just a small.
I would imagine so. Jonathan, can you confirm? The third whereas clause. I would imagine so. That was just a typo on the year.
I believe that's correct. Okay. I apologize. Yeah.
No, that's fine. I figured. I just want to make sure that we noted that. Well, that can be changed, correct? I
mean, we'll have it corrected for the second reading.
Okay. All right. Very good. Thank you. I know council will have some questions on different issues on this. The one thing I just wanted to bring up, I know there were some questions regarding, you know, the fence. And I know the subcommittee report recommended a 6-foot Simtek type fence. My thought on this is, and we've done this before, and Jonathan, you can weigh in, when we've had fence issues like over at Kirkwood Audi and all that, the applicant and the neighbors kind of, you know, got together and figured out what was the best fence for all involved. And I'm wondering if we could do that here, knowing that ultimately city council, if they can't come to an agreement or there is some it's not resolved, city council ultimately can determine what fence is there.
Sure, and what I would remind is the items on the agenda tonight are for the plat, so it's not not regarding the site plan. So the fence is not on the agenda tonight, and the one reason I want to remind is we've received some additional information, a response from the applicant regarding some of the topics that came up in the site plan, and I will be passing that information along to the council. Hopefully tomorrow, but that information can be, after you see their response and the additional information they provided, I think we can maybe have that discussion when the site plan's on the agenda.
Jonathan, that's my error, and that's what I get for not asking before the meeting. So what we have tonight is an ordinance for the final subdivision plat, but then we have a resolution later.
The resolution is for the preliminary plat, which is, it is confusing, but the preliminary plat, for commercial purposes, the preliminary plat really is just an exhibit showing it can be developed, but it does not regulate how the site is developed. That is done by the site plan itself, which is not for consideration tonight.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That was my mistake. And again, I'll know better and talk to you beforehand. So
that's no problem.
All right. Knowing that, that the fence issues and other things will come up during site plan. Are there any, Jonathan, do us a favor, just what issues, so anything regarding the trees, the fence, the flagpole, none of that has anything to do with tonight. Is that correct?
That's correct. So the final plat, technically it's just the out boundary survey. It sets the legal property lines for the two lots that are being proposed. The preliminary plat does have some development shown on it, but it is, again, it's just a proof that the site can be developed is the best way I can explain it for commercial property, and that it can be developed in a way that that feasibly can meet our code, but it does not entitle them to any development. It's a preliminary design or preliminary proof for the plat. So tonight, this type of commercial subdivision in our city, because we are built out essentially, they're what I would consider a minor subdivision. There's no introduction in this case, at least there's no introduction of new roadways, no dedication, no extensions of major public utilities. So really for commercial purposes, our subdivision requirements in this case are very minimal as to what we evaluate, honestly, and the plat and final and preliminary plat do meet the subdivision code regulations, and the city is, and Mr. Hessel may weigh in, but based on case law, the city is very tied to reviewing this against the objective criteria in our subdivision code.
And Mayor and Council, if I can add one other thing, the Court of Appeals told us years ago that if a subdivision proposal meets all of the minimum requirements of the subdivision code, then the city council has no discretion other than to approve it. I have to tell you, This has been like 30 years. I still think they're wrong. Because otherwise, why do we need to bring it to the city council? But again, I don't have a black robe. So the courts have determined that if it meets all the minimum requirements, the city council has no discretion. It must approve the subdivision plat. As Jonathan just mentioned, it does meet all the requirements.
Thank you. Jonathan, now your email the other day makes sense. When you said you'd have it by the end of the week, I'm thinking the meeting is Thursday, so now that makes total sense. Okay. So discussions on fences, flagpoles, ingress, egress, trees, that is not applicable tonight. So, all right. With that in mind, do we have any other questions or comments on the subdivision plat bill? Let's see, Paul, wait and see. All right, the only hand I see is Council Member Zimmer.
Just one quick question about the division of this proposal. Is there any particular reason why they selected the 1.44 acre and 0.74 acre division of this property?
So I think the preliminary plat portion, which I know we're not on that agenda item technically right now, but that depicts probably the reasoning for that. So I in their proposals, it does have to do with the design that they have in mind. Obviously, you want to divide the property accordingly to what you want to do with it. Now, with that said, again, I'll reiterate, approval of dividing the land does not approve what they want to do on it. But it's very clear that the two lots as proposed were based upon the current plan for the property.
Okay, good. Now, I think that's a good explanation that sets the base for the discussion as this moves forward. So thank you, Jonathan.
Thank you. All right. Any other questions or comments from council? All right. Seeing none, all in favor of first reading, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. All right, bill passes first reading. We have resolution 103-2020.
Yes, Mayor and Council, this is a resolution approving the preliminary subdivision plat of two-lot commercial subdivision known as Kirkwood Mixed Use. Did we not just do this one?
Yeah. See, I'm glad you're confused too, Russ. That makes it
the same thing.
So the first one is the final plat. That's why I said I was talking about the preliminary plat, but anyway, sorry.
No problem, Jonathan. That's my bad. I just felt like I'd read the exact same thing previously and daggum near it. Okay. We'll do that again. Mayor and Council, this is a resolution approving the preliminary subdivision plat of a two-lot commercial subdivision known as Kirkwood Mixed Use, a tract of land being part of the west one-half of Block 11 of the town of Kirkwood, as recorded in Plat Book 3, page 57, in the city of Kirkwood, St. Louis County, Missouri.
Is there a motion for approval?
Move approval.
Second?
Second.
All right, do we have any questions or comments on this one? All right, seeing none, roll call, please.
Mayor Griffin?
Yes.
Councilmember Sears?
Yes.
Councilmember Dewey?
Yes.
Councilmember Zimmer?
Yes.
Councilmember Ward?
Yes.
Councilmember Wirtz?
Yes.
Councilmember Gibbons?
Yes.
Resolution passes. Resolution 104-2020.
Mayor and Council, this is a resolution accepting the bid of T-Hill Construction in the not-to-exceed amount of $30,000, which includes a contingency of $2,030 for a public sidewalk re-leveling program and authorizing and directing the mayor to enter into a contract.
Is there a motion for approval?
Motion.
Have a second?
Second.
All right. Any questions or comments on this resolution?
Yes.
All right. Councilmember Sears.
Yeah. My question is just whether this is for a particular segment or portion of sidewalk, or is it just for the program to be put in place? I tried to read the attachments and didn't see anywhere where it's identified. If it's work to be done, I don't see where the work is. If it's putting together a plan, you know, that's a different thing.
It's to provide another option for the city in its sidewalk repair program, basically, where, and I may let Bill describe this, but he's certainly welcome to. But my understanding is it is in situations where the portion of sidewalk is intact and you can literally keep that concrete, re-level under it, and place it back down level. There's
right. I got the
specific right now. It's a program.
What are they doing for $30,000?
Bill Benson, go ahead.
Hello, Bill.
You're on mute, Bill. Bill,
you're muted.
Unmuted. Okay, can you hear me now? Okay. Yep. Basically, this is part of our program. And the spots have not been identified yet because it's our call-in program. When people call in about hazardous sidewalk, then this is another tool in our toolbox that we can replace this sidewalk. And this is not the removal of the sidewalk, but the re-leveling of existing sidewalk. So that's where we'll use it. In certain cases where the concrete slabs are not broken but just sunken, we can actually go in and re-level the sidewalk using the existing sidewalk in place.
Okay, so what are we getting for $30,000? Just future work? Is it?
Yes, that's the maximum amount we can spend, this $30,000, as people call in for sidewalk hazards.
I understand.
Do you have other questions or comments on this? Councilmember Gibbons?
Bill, I'm wondering about, I know it's the sidewalk has to be intact, but is there anything that can cause it by doing this to crack in the future? What's the longevity compared to replacing, et cetera?
That's why we're going with the smaller contract. Chris Kruger, the city engineer, he did do a demo on this earlier this year, and it worked out well. So this is more of a test program to see the longevity of it. We have heard that, you know, as long as we can re-level it, that and it's actually tamped back into space, into place, so it should have the same longevity as a replacement sidewalk, because with the concrete replacement, we rip out the sidewalk, and then we put a new base underneath it and pour concrete on it, okay? And this is just resetting that concrete. So I think the longevity should be equal to, just like some of the sidewalk we replace with concrete, if the ground sinks, it still sinks, and if a tree grows, it still raises. Okay, and it's regardless of if it's the replacement, the repouring, or the re-leveling, those effects still will exist.
This just seems like a good time for me to throw in something that really bothers me, and I know Chris and I talked about it a little bit, is the white sidewalks. We have these beautiful sidewalks in Kirkwood. I don't know how old a lot of them are, and we're putting this stark white patchwork stuff in the middle of beautiful sidewalks. And I really wish that we could find a way economically to bring them closer to the color of our pretty old sidewalks.
I would say we would love to do that, but we have an underfunded project already, a program already. And the cost to try and match sidewalks throughout the city in different locations at different shades of gray, different shades of exposed aggregate, it would just be not cost effective.
You started something here, Sears. I see a couple other hands up now. Councilmember Zimmer.
Yes, Bill. What is the cost comparison from leveling one slab of sidewalk versus jackhammering it and removing it and replacing it? Surely this is a less expensive option for us, right?
Chris, you want to take that one?
Sure. So our current bids for sidewalk run about $9.56. The square footage that square foot, the price per square foot to relevel is the bid that was received is actually, I think it's around $1.50 more to relevel. However, there's many benefits that come out of it. One that Liz brings up is that it matches. There is less time that the sidewalk is out for pedestrians to use. The whole process takes about 30 minutes. So it is one way that we can try to keep our sidewalks the color that they are. But there is a small, about $1, $1.50 per square foot more.
Any reason for that extra cost? Because you're not adding any new concrete material. I would think that it might be less than bringing in new concrete and paying for that to be poured.
Yeah, the only thing that I could really put my hands around is that this is a new program. It has been done at other municipalities. However, we have a pretty small amount of square foot that we have dedicated to the program. And so the economies of scale isn't really there. But if we added more square footage, that would probably drive it down.
Yeah. Okay, great. All right. Well, it's a great idea and a good start. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Bill. Mm-hmm.
Councilmember Ward, do you have your hand up?
My questions were answered, asked and answered. I would like to comment that for future consideration, it would seem like it'd be an ideal operation to do in-house.
Thank you. Do we have any other questions or comments on this resolution?
No.
Seeing none, roll call, please.
Mayor Griffin?
Yes.
Councilmember Sears?
Yes.
Councilmember Dewey?
Yes.
Councilmember Zimmer?
Yes.
Councilmember Ward?
Yes.
Councilmember Wirtz?
Yes.
Councilmember Gibbons?
Yes.
Resolution passes. Resolution 105-2020.
Mayor and Council, this is a resolution accepting the bid of Lamke Trenching and Excavating in the not-to-exceed amount of $254,465, which includes a contingency of $23,133 for Marshall Road high pressure reduction and authorizing and directing the mayor to enter into a contract.
Is there a motion for approval?
Motion.
I have a motion and a second. Do we have any questions or comments on this resolution? All right, seeing none, roll call, please.
Mayor Griffin?
Yes.
Councilmember Sears?
Yes.
Councilmember Dewey?
Yes.
Councilmember Zimmer?
Yes.
Councilmember Ward?
Yes.
Councilmember Wirtz?
Yes.
Councilmember Gibbons?
Yes.
Resolution passes. Resolution 106-2020.
Mayor and Council, this is a resolution amending the contract with TWM by increasing the contract amount by $18,913.35 for a not-to-exceed amount of $360,772.35 for transportation engineering services for Manchester Road Improvement Project, additional streetscape design, and authorizing and directing the mayor to enter into an amended contract.
Is there a motion for approval?
So moved.
We've got a motion and a second. Do we have any questions or comments on this? So Russ or Bill, do you want to state any explanation of what we're doing here?
I'll let Bill do that.
Okay. In the original contract, we talked about having an entrance monument to the city at the two ends of the project, now two ends of the project, which would be the eastern city limit line and the western city limit line. This is strictly due to the phase one project. which is the east side of Manchester Road from Kirkwood Road to the city limit to the east side. And so this is for the actual, during the initial contract, they provided us artist rendering of what that entrance monument would look like. And now we're moving from there. We've given samples of that monument to the city administrator for his review. And to move next is the actual design for our construction of that monument. And that's was not in the original contract. The only thing in the original contract was to provide conceptual drawings of this monument, which has been completed. And now to put that into the MoDOT plans, we have to have it actually designed now.
This is for design, anything for design?
Correct, it's for design.
Okay. Council, questions or comments? Let's see, all right. Let's go to Councilmember Zimmer.
Yes, when we're designing this, is this something that we'll be able to replicate to other entrances into the city?
Yes, we could use this same design for we plan on using it in the phase two project also. Okay. And we could use it as in other locations of the city if we wish to do so.
Sure, places like South Kirkwood Road or Big Bend.
Correct.
Okay, great. All right, thank you.
Councilmember Ward, you had your hand up, I think.
Yeah, I have two questions, Bill. Was this initial amount already included in the matching grant from MoDOT?
Yes, we did have a portion of the matching grant in there, yes.
Okay. And second of all, you know, there were some resident concerns about the use of the decorative filler strip along the curb line. How is it, has that been resolved?
Chris, you want to answer that?
Yeah, so this is just to clarify, that is for phase two, which is west of Kirkwood Road. And this is along the where there's parallel parking. The designer for MoDOT is incorporating and looking to eliminate that strip along those parking areas. And so I still have yet to receive the plans showing that elimination, but that is moving along with the designers from MoDOT.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Anything else? That's never given.
The other day, I finally have started meeting with department heads, 6 feet apart with masks on. But anyway, met with David Wedler. Am I saying his name correctly? He showed me the prettiest sign that's going to be used at the train station. And I'm just wondering if we can, you know, aesthetically have these signs all match. To me, that would really look, it would just make the city come together, I think.
I will have to get a copy of that, okay? But what I can tell you is that the monuments that are being projected will match City Hall's brick and limestone caps, okay? So we focused on matching with the City Hall motif, basically.
And I'll also add that it's the word Kirkwood is written vertically, similar to on the Clay Avenue Bridge.
Correct.
Okay. This one is, it's not vertical.
I'm familiar with the train station. That was a one-off project to replace a very severely deteriorated Amtrak sign currently. And we worked with the sign company just to come up with the best thing that we felt fit downtown Kirkwood. And I can understand why you like that sign. I think everybody who's seen it says that's going to be a really nice fit. I think the monuments are more an architectural type feature. And we tried to grab architectural features from City Hall and from the Clay Avenue Bridge in designing that.
Okay.
Councilmember Ward, any questions?
Yeah, I'm guessing that Councilmember Gibbons' concern is that we are will this be a significant branding of Kirkwood and signage with the monuments that we're proposing? Will they enhance that?
I think by their very nature, they're going to brand the entrances to the city. As I remember, they have a, I'm not 100% on this, but I believe they have the city's seal on them. Is that correct, Bill? The renderings
of it?
Yeah.
Yes.
I believe they have the city's seal, then the word Kirkwood vertically, and they're in a design that's a obelisk.
Okay. Yeah, historically, many of the streets had those concrete obelisks. Instead of the sign mounted, I think there may be a couple left in Kirkwood.
The ones on, mm-hmm. on South Guy or at Woodbine are still there. Mm-hmm. Or in that area, Art Lane and so forth.
All right. Any other questions or comments on this resolution? Seeing none, roll call, please.
Mayor Griffin?
Yes.
Councilmember Sears?
Yes.
Councilmember Dewey?
Yes.
Councilmember Zimmer?
Yes.
Councilmember Ward?
Yes.
Councilmember Wirtz?
Yes.
Councilmember Gibbons?
Yes.
Resolution passes. Resolution 107-2020.
Mayor and Council, this is a resolution requesting that St. Louis County distribute $47 million of CARES Act funds on a per capita basis to the municipalities within the county to be used for eligible expenses, authorizing the Chief Administrative Officer of the City of Kirkwood, Missouri, to accept CARES Act funding and execute a municipality relief program funding agreement and confirming agreement to indemnify and hold harmless St. Louis County from such distribution.
Is there a motion for approval?
Motion. So moved.
We got a motion, Mark, Maggie, a second. I'll let Russ explain this, but this is something that a lot of groups have been working on, Municipal League, Metro, mayors, and this is a way for the municipalities to get a share of the County CARES Act funding. You know, in the work session, Russ referenced $173 million that the county got. This has been in the works, some negotiations for a while, for the municipalities on a per capita basis to get our share of that money. There's a lot of unknowns still left with it. There's agreements to enter into that John has read, but it could be something that really could be substantial to Kirkwood in terms of revenue. Russ, I'll let you go ahead and explain what we know and what we don't know about this.
Yes, as I mentioned earlier in the meeting, the county executive has authority over $173.5 million of CARES Act funding that came through the federal government distribution for entities that are 500,000 population and above. In order to equitably share that throughout the county, municipalities have lobbied, so to speak, to make sure that we get a piece of that pie. The Municipal Association obviously has been working on that effort. The county executive has been open to finding a way to make it fair and equitable, and it was determined that a per capita basis would be the best approach, with perhaps some analysis of need for the lesser populated communities, particularly in the North County area. This money, these funds, will be distributed through a process where the municipalities apply for the funding, identify the purposes for which they would expend those funds, and exactly what that would be for. We have through October 2nd to begin that process. October 2nd at 5 p.m., they close the application portal. So that's why this resolution is important right now. We want to make sure that we are at the front of the line, so to speak, to receive these funds. The exact specifics of how the program will be administered are a little on the ambiguous side right now, but we're working closely with our representative, Tim Fitch, who is helping navigate the process. We see a positive result for the city of Kirkwood here because it'll help reimburse us for expenses that are eligible that we have had to incur as a result of the COVID situation. And there are significant unplanned expenses here.
It's one of the things that are required is the governing body of a city have to pass a resolution, you know, basically approving, having us get into agreement with the county on that. I know Russ didn't mention it, but it is out there. Right now, the anticipated number is a little over $68 per person, which in Kirkwood's case would be over $1.8 million. So again, as Russ said, there are a lot of, and John might want to chime in too, there's still questions on exactly what expenses can go into that, when do they have to be expended by, but this is definitely a first step for the municipalities in getting reimbursement for some of the, you know, lost revenue we had due to the coronavirus. John, do you have anything to add in terms of the agreement or anything? Okay.
I don't have anything to add. I think as Russ alluded to, this is one step. It's a process that we're going to have to undergo, and hopefully we'll be successful in meeting all the criteria. There's still some uncertainties out there. But this is, we clearly need to initiate this process by passing this resolution.
Yeah.
Yep.
One thing that, you know, I know we, the Municipal League and Metro Mayors, and I assume City Managers Group, how this money was gonna, getting the county to release the funds is one thing, and how to do it. And we were pushing for the per capita, and that was ultimately agreed to. So hopefully as we move forward, this process will work and all of us, all the municipalities will receive their share of the CARES Act funding. So with that, any questions or comments from council? All right, I see one. Councilmember Ward.
Yeah, John or Russ, is the county executive obligated to have dispersed all of the federal funds that he received by the end of the year?
My understanding is yes.
Okay.
Or they revert back.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Seeing no further questions or comments, roll call, please.
Mayor Griffin?
Yes.
Councilmember Sears? Councilmember Sears?
You're on mute, Bob.
Roll call you.
Yeah.
Councilmember Dewey?
Yes.
Councilmember Zimmer?
Yes.
Councilmember Ward?
Yes.
Councilmember Wirtz?
Yes.
Councilmember Gibbons?
Yes.
All right, resolution passes. We'll go to city council reports. The only thing I'll mention, I don't know, Bob, you were going to say anything about the party on the porch, but this weekend would have been Green Tree Festival, so it's obviously unfortunate it's not going to be held. They are trying something different for tomorrow night, something called Party on Your Porch, from 4:30 to 10, where bands are going to drive around the city of Kirkwood, and people, if they're out on their porch doing whatever, can be entertained. I would suggest and recommend anyone go to our website. There's a lot of information on our website regarding Party on Your Porch tomorrow night. So, any other council comments? Councilmember Zimmer.
Yes, just wanted to mention one thing, and we've talked about this in the past. On September 17th, 1787, United States Constitution was ratified, and today, of course, is Constitution Day.
Thank you. So on the other hand, Councilmember Gibbons.
just wanted to remind everyone that this weekend, Saturday, is the Autumn Outdoor Fest that the Special Business District is doing from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Sidewalk sale, pumpkin patch, farmers market. They are trying to do live music, and they were required to put together a plan and submit it to St. Louis County in order to have the music, and they still haven't gotten approval of that yet. So they're hoping tomorrow. They had five different music venues set up. One of them was the Metropolitan Opera, Metropolitan Orchestra, playing on the City Hall steps at 6 p.m. But again, they don't know if it's going to happen. Definitely the Outdoor Fest is happening.
Anything from the council? All right. I see no other hands.
Wallace has his hand.
Just a comment. I want to express my gratitude that the Constitution has been amended many times.
Yeah. Mine too.
Can you give us the date of each one of those amendments?
Yeah, let me run those back to you.
Thanks. Chief Administrative Officer report.
I don't have a report at this time.
All right. City Attorney report.
I have nothing to report, Mayor.
All right. City Clerk report.
Yes, Your Honor. The first thing I want to report on is the report of the September 16th Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. The following action took place. The commission recommended approval of granting a one-year extension of the period in which construction shall commence under the special use permit granted by Ordinance Number 10627 for Audi Kirkwood at 10230 through 10240 Manchester Road. The commission recommended approval of a site plan for a 12-unit, four-story residential building on the combined properties of 134 and 138 West Madison Avenue. After a presentation for a request for a special use permit for a restaurant with outdoor seating and site plan review for a coffee shop at 132 West Monroe Avenue, Commissioners Evans and Eagleton were appointed to a subcommittee. The subcommittee will meet via Zoom on September 24th at 9 a.m. I want to report on the upcoming public hearings for October 1st, 2020. We have scheduled a request to amend the zoning code by adding a definition for assisted living facility, adding assisted living facility as a special use permit in the B2 zoning district, and adding a parking rate for assisted living facility. A request for a special use permit for an assisted living facility and of a preliminary development plan for a mixed use development in the B2 district at 300 North Kirkwood Road, as submitted by Opus Development. Based on the report of the September 6th Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, item number 2 of the report will be scheduled for a public hearing on October 15th, 2020. And October 22nd, 2020, which is rescheduled from August 27th, 2020, a request for a mixed-use development in the B2 zoning district known as the James, formerly Kirkwood Flats, at 426 North Kirkwood Road. And that's all I have.
Thank you. All right. With that, the next meeting of the council takes place at 7 p.m. on October 1st, and this meeting is adjourned. Thank you all.